Hi, this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to offer some more advice and insight as to the best way to approach and own your scene. I'll explain. I was recently working with one of my Skype students in New Jersey, and I had assigned her a scene from The Accused. You probably remember that one. Jodie Foster was in it. And it was based on a very brutal gang rape. So they made this movie, and Jodie Foster played the woman who was victimized. And Kelly McGillis, I think she was fresh off of Top Gun, and she played the young prosecuting attorney who would be handling this particular case. I'm going to make points as to the things that I believe actors should be thinking about that will inform their performance without having to, you know, worry about how they're going to act it. And I think this is going to give us a good opportunity to do that. Jodie Foster's character has found out that the three men accused of this horrible crime are out on bail, and she's very upset about that. And they have this scene. This scene occurs at the house. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of go through the scene, and then, once again, I want to focus on the things that I think the actor needs to think about in order to properly inform a performance, which then you won't have to work so hard at. And it'll also be the types, it'll also be the type of information that I think really helps an actor own the material to where, you know, it's not such a dodgy proposition being able to be authentic and persuasive in the part. And so here we go. The character Sarah is the Jodie Foster character. That's Sarah. And Catherine is the Kelly McGillis character. She is the young prosecuting attorney. Okay? So Catherine, the young prosecuting attorney, comes to Sarah's door, knocks on it. Sarah says, "Who is it?" She introduces herself, Catherine. Catherine Murphy. And the first thing Sarah says when she comes to the door is, "Why did you let them out on bail?" Catherine's response is, "I didn't let them out. It's standard procedure. Until a jury finds you guilty, you're free if you can post bail." So I ask the actress, who is actually working on the part of the young prosecuting attorney, Catherine, I said, "So explain that to me. So what happened, do you think? How did this all go down?" Now, if there is a second's hesitation, you see, if there is the person trying to give me that answer, unlike a human being, which would just list out exactly what happened, then I know this has not been thought through. Simply thinking these things through is what, as I keep saying, is what informs your performance. You see, as a director and as a teacher, I like to take my time with this stuff because I think if you get started right, everything starts to fall into place. So I said, "How do you think what happened there?" She hesitates, so I start to talk. I say, "Okay, well, there was a hearing. This happened in your jurisdiction. You are the new young female prosecuting attorney. What I want to talk about is things like, first of all, why are you a prosecuting attorney? Because you believe in justice. So if you take that into account, what do you think happened? What do you see happening at the bail hearing?" I'll tell you what I see. I see a young female prosecuting attorney trying to make a case saying these three people should not be let out. What they did was horrible. It was egregious enough that they should just be held in prison until their court date. Now, right off the bat, if these people are back out on the street, a number of things happen, yeah? for a young female prosecuting attorney, it's her case, they're back out on the street again. You know, people don't understand the law that well. All they know is that these guys who were witnessed by all the other people in that bar, in that pool hall, doing this horrible, horrible thing, everyone knows they saw they're guilty, even though they still have to go through the court system. In everyone else's eyes, you didn't do your job well enough to keep them from being out on the street again. They're going to feel basically the same way that Jodie Foster's character is going to feel. So here are the things I say to an actor. First of all, you have to at least imagine that's what your day was like. You were a part of that and you lost. Now they're out on the street. I want you to think about what your job looks like, what you're trying to do. You're in a man's world. I'm sorry, especially when this film was made in that court system. That's just the way it is. I don't mean to make that as a political statement. I'm just kind of telling you the way it is, what you're up against. You're a young female prosecuting attorney, and you're going to try and put these three guys away, hopefully forever, for what they did. Your hands are full, and in the bail hearing, it didn't go that well. Now, coming over to this girl's house, I ask these questions. Did you think about the fact that she may know that before you went over there? Did you think about the fact that you would have to broach that subject, tell her what happened? You know, in the script, we find out that Jodie's character already knew that. Well, of course, it's on the news, and she hears about it. She hears about it from someone, so she knows about it. It wouldn't be unreasonable for a human being to anticipate that she may already know about it. And if she doesn't know about it, you know you're going to have to mention it and then explain the law to her to calm her down. Why is that important? Well, if we don't discuss acting, if we stop thinking about all of the acting bullshit that everyone thinks about when they're trying to, you know, break their script down, if we just do the right thing of taking the responsibility of really thinking things through, you see, ownership of this material, the point of view, your argument will be something that will just be informed. So now I've already told you, as a young prosecuting female attorney, that you lost something already. They're back out on the street, probably with a bail amount that you don't think was enough. It hits the news. These three people are moving around. Do you know, everywhere you go, if anyone knows the case, they may say something to you. Just like Jodie Foster's character. Why'd you let them out? What is the dog you have in this fight? When I asked her this question, in other words, why is this so important to you? Again, very smart answers, but I felt they were a little kind of on the surface, just the basic ideas, you know, well, these guys are criminals and this and that. What I didn't hear was what I think a human being would talk about, and that would be that this is what they've dedicated their life to, that it's cases like this that you have to win. You have to win. If you don't win this case, then what is the message? Men can, with lots of witnesses, gang rape a woman just because she was a little drunk and she was wearing slightly suggestive clothing and she was dancing by herself near a pool table, and so that could have been construed as, you know, she was being provocative, and that in your jurisdiction, in the place where you work, men can get away with that. Well, this certainly flies in the face of your idea of trying to get justice, certainly. But that would mean that everything that you've worked for, that you've studied for, everything you want to be, the law and order you'd like to bring, the very thing that you've dedicated your life to, you, of course, would want to see that happen, and that to have it not happen would be the exact opposite, the worst possible outcome, particularly for someone who is just starting out and is going to prove that she can bring justice to these kinds of situations, you see? So far you've lost the first round. Now you have to come in and explain this to the victim so that she can be an excellent witness. What does that mean? That means that you have to be able to handle any situation with her and make sure that she stays solid and presents as a great witness. Now, you see, you have some problems. The girl could have been looked at as kind of not a loose girl, but, you know, certainly not what you would look at and say is a good girl. But you would have your hands full with a witness like this. Well, as opposed to, anyone else with a spotless record, any other woman with a spotless record, who was the opposite of anyone that would ever venture into a bar, have a drink, you know, even take a drug, happily married, good mother with children. Come on, you know how this works out. So now imagine you're having to deal with a witness like that. This horrible thing has happened to her, and now you have to have her present in a way that will help to win this case that you need to win and that deserves to be won. So after you explain that to her, she says, "A guy on TV made it sound like she did a live sex show." Your response is, "That's not the last time it's going to happen." I asked her what that means. Well, what's the point of saying that? The point of saying that is because, obviously, as many of you know, but you have to keep this in the front of your mind when you're working on stuff like this, is that you know what happens in these situations. I mean, what you would need your witness to know is that a good defense attorney is going to rip you apart even if you're a nun. They will find a way. So certainly, if you are a little loose, if you like to wear provocative clothing, if you drink a little too much, smoke a little too much dope, you know, go to bars by yourself, you know, a little too often, these things are going to be paraded in front of the courtroom. So what does that mean? That would mean you would have to figure out a way to kind of corral this woman. And in the midst of all the tumult she's feeling, the injustice that she feels, the anger that she feels, somehow keep her from blowing up, losing her cool, whatever, showing up drunk to court, whatever. You've got to keep this woman in order and make it so she can withstand what's about to come. The next thing that the attorney says is that she said the bartender at the dugout said you were sick, and so goes then to Sarah's home to find her. And I said to her, "So what do you think when you go to the bar where she works and, you know, you hear that she called in sick?" She goes, "Well, I'm angry." I said, "Why are you angry?" She goes, "'Cause she's lying. You know, she's lying." Now, this isn't a silly answer, because it does show that she's lying. She isn't sick. She's at home. She's not sick at all. But I came at it another way. I said, "Okay, let's stop thinking about acting answers. If a woman had been gang raped, does it seem unusual to you that she would call in sick to work?" It doesn't to me. In fact, to know that she had the ability to go back to work and work in a bar, at a bar, of which, what, 80% of the people that go into bars are men? I mean, if she could even do that, and let's face it, some people would have to because they still have to pay their bills. Just put your head down and get through it, right? But I asked her, would you be amazed if she wasn't? No, not at all. In fact, if you heard she called in sick, wouldn't you immediately think that she just didn't want to face this business, the drinking, the men, the catcalls, that atmosphere? Doesn't that make sense? Yeah. Yes, of course. So again, quit trying to make, you know, strong acting choices and really just kind of look at it as a human being would. Then Sarah offers the attorney a seat and asks her if she would like a drink. And she says she could really use a drink. And Catherine says, "No, thank you." And then she says, "Oh, you know, just a drink to smooth out the edges." And the attorney asks her, "Do you always drink to smooth out the edges?" And she was getting a little testy about it. And I said, okay, now again, would it be completely outrageous for someone who has gone through the trauma that she has to maybe want to drink? Because when she asked, you always smooth out the edges, Sarah's response is, well, sometimes she takes a hit of pot or something. Why? Do you want some? So that's her reply, is that, you know, well, no, that once in a while, you know, she uses pot, and that, you know, would the attorney like to smoke some? And she says no. I said, okay, well, you see, you've read the script. So when you asked her the question about smoothing out the edges, you already knew that she was going to be kind of oblivious to her loose ways with drinking and smoking, and that might not be good. But I posed this question. That's only because you know the script. What if, when you said, do you always drink to smooth out the edges? She said, oh, no, not during the day. No, I hate drinking in the day. It's just lately, I've just been under so much stress. I haven't been asleep. I haven't slept in 4 days. And I'm just finding I need something. I mean, look, my hands are shaking. And I said, well, that would have changed everything, wouldn't it have? I mean, look, it's still not the best case scenario, but it would show you someone who was a little more cognizant of what's going on in the world and how, you know, what someone's perceptions might be. But no, the fact that then she seems to be oblivious, saying, not even catching that it's the middle of the day, and she's drinking during the middle of the day to smooth out these edges. Since she's oblivious to it, now you can start to pursue that idea. But it's not a problem till it's a problem. All right, so here's another lesson here. Look at your lines accurately. Think about what you would be thinking if you had empathy and sensitivity and you were a human being and you were working with another human being. What is the end goal? To put these people in prison. How are you going to do it? You're going to present a great case. How are you going to present a great case? You're going to have an amazing witness that even though they're going to try and rip her apart and tear her down and make her seem like she's absolute trash, she is going to stand up for herself, and we're going to win this case. We're going to win the case because we have justice on our side. So then she asks Sarah if she had anything to drink before she went to the mill or if she smoked anything. She says a half a joint, a couple of beers, nothing heavy. She says, while you were there? And she says, I don't know, I wasn't falling down drunk or anything. And the attorney then says, how were you dressed? And she says, what's that supposed to mean? And she says, it means were you dressed provocatively, showing a lot of cleavage, see-through blouse? And she gets very upset. And she says, what difference does it matter how I was dressed? They tore it off me. But she comes back with, but did how you dress make them think they could have sex with you? Did you put on a show? Now Sarah loses it, basically, saying that, you know, they put me in the hospital. You think I asked for that? Is that what you think? If that's what you think, then you just get out of my house. And Catherine says, why didn't you tell me you had a record? Then we find out that she had some incident that occurred with her where she got pulled over. It was a friend's U-Haul. They found a little cocaine and a piece of her friend's furniture she didn't even know was there, and the whole thing was supposed to be expunged. I asked the actress, I said, why are you so upset about that? What specifically makes you upset about it? She said, she lied to me. I said, okay, and so? And then she kind of had to think about it for a little bit. No. Yes, it's bad she lied. But here's the problem. She can't lie to you at all because you're defending her. Can you imagine what would happen in the courtroom if you had not known about that until they brought it up in the courtroom? This can never happen to attorneys. So if your attorney doesn't have the truth, if you're holding back, what happens? You can lose the case. And I say, why does this upset you? Why? We go back to what we said in the beginning. She wants justice. That's why she's here. If anyone deserves to go to jail forever, it's these three monsters that, you know, conducted this gang rape on a pool table while everyone watched and everyone else in that place. We don't make it an acting importance. We don't think about, oh, yes, I've got a very strong choice, you see. I'm using a substitution. We don't do any of this carnival bullshit. No, you just take it all on. You understand the facts, though. But you see, you have to ground them in a very kind of understandable reality that just has to do with truth and what's right and you caring about it for the same reasons that you would in real life. Now, you know, someone here might say, well, I've never been an attorney, so, you know, this kind of a case, I don't know, I'll have to substitute because I'm going to have to come up with something that's going to make me care enough about it to where then I'll really feel like, you know, I've got some real cause here to make. And I think, you just don't have the intellect and empathy to understand that if you were a young female prosecuting attorney, you just can't understand just even simply how important that is. You have to substitute it about the time that, you know, what? You did what? How about if I just told you, hey, you're looking for a job. We'll handle all the legalese, but we need you to go in and be a point person. Here's what happened. These three guys rape this woman, and we need you to go in there into these meetings and, you know, state our case, and like these people have to go to jail. You couldn't get behind that? You don't have a sense of right and wrong? So what do you got to substitute? Substitute what? I understand. When people tell me that stuff, I think, well, why would you do that? Because you see, as soon as you do any kind of substitution or stuff, what you're secretly telling yourself is, the material here on the page isn't enough to get me going. I need to add something extra to the mix. It has nothing to do with this, but I'm going to kind of have to think about it or kind of, you know, plant that over it or kind of lay that over what's going on so I can give a shit about it. Really? Don't you feel your back getting up during the course of a day about a whole bunch of stuff? Don't you wish sometimes that you were an attorney and you could actually just take someone to court? You could put someone in jail? You can make a simple argument and put them away. You don't have that sense in you? Of course you do. You don't need to do anything, folks, except really, really understand, right down to the foundation, the simple aspects of right and wrong, why you see things the way you do, what your argument is, why it's important to you, and just simply accept it. Don't talk yourself into it. Don't trick yourself into it. This stuff's pretty obvious. So this girl gets so upset about all this stuff. She's getting so angry. And then you turn it around and you say to her, this is what's going to happen in the courtroom. And they're going to be way worse than what you just said to her. They're going to make stuff up. And some of the stuff you're going to be able to object to and you'll be sustained. And some of the stuff you're going to object to and you'll be overruled. Either way, the jury's going to hear all of it. You would have to get your witness to understand what they're up against and know that it's not just about gritting your teeth and getting through it. No, we're going to have to get through it in an unscathed way to where we never lose sight of what we're doing, that we are not tricked into misbehaving in a way that could be construed by the jury as being trashy or in any way that would hurt our case. You even tell her that it's going to be the defense's job to show the jury that you're a rotten witness because you've got a rotten character. This is what the attorney tells Jodie Foster's character. Why? Getting her ready for all the aforementioned reasons, that there's no reason to pull punches now or pretend like this isn't going to happen, because the only thing you can do is get your witness ready. And Sarah, of course, gets defensive and says, you know, I got a rotten character. You ain't going to defend me because I'm some low-class bimbo, right? Because, of course, that's how she sees herself. She can see how society might see her that way. The attorney says that she didn't say that. She asks if those, you know, guys are going to go to jail. The attorney says, is that what you want? She says, I want them to go away forever. Okay. I said, what's significant about your last line? Is that what you want? Again, she got a little quiet. Here's the significance. If in the midst of all of this tumult, all that stuff, all the back and forth we had, if I finally boil it down to, is that what you want? You want them to go away to jail forever? Her reply is, absolutely, I want them gone forever. You see, now I have a foundation I can build on as a prosecuting attorney, because anytime you start to go sideways, I can look at you and say, look, You told me you want them to go away forever. I asked you, you said this is what you want. So we got to stick to the plan. You got to quit working at the bar. You can't drink anymore. You can't let your friends see you getting high. You got to start dressing slightly differently. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. We got to make sure there's no mistakes, no backslide. You don't let the grief of what's happened to you take you into a bender and be found drunk on the side of the road somewhere. I mean, you could say virtually anything because you would be saying, you would be building on that idea, which is you told me you want them to go away. Now, if that's what you want, we got to play by my rules. Because I promise you, I know how this works. Now, you know, we haven't talked about acting the whole time at all. And as I've explained this to you, I know that many of you hear me, and you see how it kind of settles into your bones. You can kind of feel now what your point of view is. It feels righteous. You see why you're doing your job. It's not personal. You're not just upset at this woman. She's on your team. You want to help her, but you know that she's been through a terrible time. If there was ever a time, you know, to go do the drug, to do the drink, to eat too much food, to do whatever it is you do when you're upset and you have a lot of anxiety, this would be the time. Her drug of choice happens to be, you know, drugs and drinking. And so you would be sensitive enough to know what you're up against, what you need to do, the fact that she needs to know she can never lie to you, she's got to be straight, that this is going to be tough, these things are going to be ugly. And if we can just get our mind around that, I know that when you're hearing me now, you understand that. And in a sense, you think, that's easy. I get that. I understand all of that. That makes perfect sense to me. I understand what I'm doing in the scene. I understand what I need her to do. I understand how much patience I could lose or why I might get testy and everything. But I would know that keeping my eye on the ball, we know what that is now. We know it's about doing the right thing, getting this thing to work. It's not about some crazy acting choices, up, down, playing opposite, some other bullshit that has nothing to do with these real life scenes. Nothing. Now, the beautiful thing that happens once I get an actor lined up like this is the acting part of it, it almost disappears. There's just nothing. Suddenly now they're just making a lucid argument back and forth about what needs to get done and how we need to do it and what the problems are and what you can't do and what I'm going to do and how it's going to be. And it just all makes sense. And when you speak to the knowledge you have, when you can just address a feeling that you understand that you have about something, it informs your acting. People act and they try and come up with line readings because they don't understand it to the core like I've explained it to you today. It's just basic. It's you lied and, you know, we got to, you got to not be messy. So I'll keep thinking about how I'll say it and I'll kind of get sharp with this. And, you know, at one point she asked a question and it was very leading. She said, do you always drink, you know, I'm exaggerating a little bit. But do you always drink to smooth out the edges? I said, now, is that how you do it, really? Because do you want a real answer? Do you want an honest answer? Okay, well, if you asked me like that, I would immediately think that I better not answer it the way I might have. Because you've led me into believing that in your very cautious way you asked me the question, that, you know, I better think about my answer. And I wouldn't have to be too smart to realize I should probably just say something like, no, today's a special day, right? So as soon as I said that, she knew to just ask it. So it wasn't loaded. Because in real life, I guarantee you, it wouldn't be loaded. The prosecuting attorney would know how to ask questions to get real answers. They would know that if you load the question, there is a good chance the witness will change their answer. It's like when someone comes up to me and says, hey, Jeff, can I be truthful with you? I always just want to say, no, please, let's just keep up the line. Please. Most of what I do is try and rewire actors' brains to where they really ask human questions. a big part of what I do is trying to deprogram people off all of the acting nonsense they've been working on, throw all that out the window, and start asking these very simple, honest questions about what's going on in a scene. And I have found that when I get actors grounded and they're actually answering and they're thinking about their job description and what actually went on and being reasonable and how they'd see it and what they might say, 99 times out of 100, we are just flowing right into a very authentic, wonderful performance. It has everything we're looking for, and it seems completely easy for the actor to do. It's way more spontaneous. It's much more, there's much more of a chance it can change from rehearsal to rehearsal, and there's always flexibility because the actor truly understands what they're trying to say and what they're trying to do. And then if the other actor changes what they're doing, they're quick to change because they're not stuck in some song they memorized about how they think it's going to go. No, they just own all their information and they know how to authentically address it. All right, folks, those are my thoughts for today. I hope they were helpful. Thanks for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor Podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Real Life Actor Podcasts can now be found on Spotify, iTunes, and Podomatic. Please tell your friends. And if you're in the Los Angeles area and you'd like to audit one of my classes, send me an email at jeff@reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.